Today's Shir in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Kuf Lamed Dalet. We begin on the second line from the top of Kuf Lamed Dalet Amud Aleph, quoting the Mishnah, Lo Shachak Me'er of Shabbos. If a person didn't go and chop up this kamon, this cumin, to put on the wound of the Bris Mila on Erev Shabbos, so you're not allowed to do it in the normal way on Shabbos. So we said you go and chew it, and in this situation you can use it in this altered fashion using a shinui. Gemara starts off and says a Brisa, Tana Rabban. Tzvar Mishen Osim Lemila B'Shabbos. Even though there are certain things you're not allowed to do for a bris milah, the machshirim, on Shabbos, you should do them on Erev Shabbos. On Yontif we more make, or the Braisa says, you're allowed to do them on Yontif. For example, shochach in law kamon, you're allowed to go and chop up, break up this kamon, this cumin, and do it in the normal way on Yontif. The tarfim l'yayim v'shem, and likewise you can mix the wine and the oil that they had a custom also for medicinal purposes. Both the cumin and the wine and the oil were used for medicinal purposes. So the Braisa says you can be more makel on Yontif than on Shabbos. Now we're going to have a whole series of questions. This is the first one that we start off with, and it's going to lead us to another bunch of questions that Abaye asked to Rav Yosef, all in the same style of Maishna. Why is this different, this price that we're going to bring down, different than our Mishnah? So we start off with the first one. Amalei Abaye Rav Yosef. Abaye says to his Rebbe Rav Yosef, Maishna kamon biyantif, why do we allow in this brisa for you to go and chop up this kamon, on to grind this kamon on Yontif itself, because the chazilik there, because if you wanted to, this could be ochel nefesh, and we have the famous rule. Since you're allowed to use something for ochel nefesh, as long as it's for some tzarech of Yontif Kitzas, you're allowed to use it for all the others. Hoel. Since you can use it for this, you can use it for that. So therefore, the kamon is the chazi likderi. You could go put this in your food, so therefore you can grind it up. Likewise, yayin v'shemen, chazi nami v'shabs l'cholos. So Abai is asking, so wine and oil could be used on Shabbos for a chola, so it's not a problem of grinding, it's not a shkikas sammonim situation, and therefore, if you can use it on Shabbos, so why can't we do this for the bris milah? The Tanya, because we learned in a brisa, ain't tarfin yayim v'shem l'chol b'Shabbos, you're not allowed to go, the Tanya Kabbalah says, you're not allowed to go do this, to mix the wine, to stir the wine and the shemen together. However, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Mishum Reb Meir, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says the name of Reb Meir, af tarfin yayim v'shem, you are allowed to go and mix this to beat the oil and the wine together, to scramble them together. You are allowed to do this for a chola on Shabbos. And furthermore, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, said, one time Reb Meir had some sort of a stomach problem, and the treatment was this wine and oil mixed together. And we said, let's scramble over here the wine and the oil together for you, and you'll use this as a medication on Shabbos. But he didn't let us do this. So we said to him, Rebbe, are you changing your shita? Your words should be changed in your lifetime. You paskin this way. So how come you're not letting us do this for you? So Reb Meir responded and he said, Amalalo. He said to us, even though I lemaisa hold like this, I allow you to go and scramble the wine and the oil together, to beat them together, mix them together. I hold like that. The chaveri omrim kach. However, my chaverim, they disagree with me. The Tanakama, the Chacham, they said, ain't tarfim, you're not allowed to go and mix the wine and the oil together, and therefore my personal sheet is miyamai lomilo ani libi lavor al divri chaverai. Even though I may say differently, I don't go against my chaverim, the Talmidei Chachamim. So therefore, I personally won't take advantage of my shita. Now here's the question that Abaye asked Rav Yosef. Who, Rav Meir, nihu de machmir anashi? He himself is only machmir himself. However, avolukuli yamushori, but he does allow, lemaisa, he does say that you're allowed to go and mix the scramble, the wine and the oil together. So since you're allowed to do this on Shabbos, why can't you do this for the bris milah? So that's the question over here. Why is different the common that we allow you to do it, but we don't allow you to do the yayin and shemen on Shabbos? So the Gemara says, Chosom lo boy licha, that Rav Yosef says, in the case of this brisa, you're doing it, we said, for people that aren't very, very sick. And therefore, you can get away without doing licha, without doing this tarfo, without, Rashi says, l'tarfo, l'arvo, yofi, yofi, you don't have to mix it so well together. So you can just do a little mixing, that's allowed. However, in regards to the baby who is having the bris milah, so ha, boy, licha, you have to do really, really good mixing, and therefore it will not work unless you do a very good mixing. And even Rav Meir, who says, I allow you to do this mixing, is only allowing a not-so-good mixing. Someone says, so hachanami, so stay over here. In our Mishnah, niyavid v'lo leilach. So let us just mix them together in our Mishnah. Instead of saying that it's aser, say you can mix them together, but just don't scramble it very, very well. Don't mix it very, very well. Someone says, yeah, that's exactly what we said in the Mishnah. That's what we said in the Mishnah. No saying zeb ifnei atzmo v'zeb ifnei atzmo. That's exactly what we said. Don't mix it well. Pour in the wine, then pour in the oil, and the action of pouring it will mix them somewhat together. Then you just can't take a spoon and scramble it and mix it real well. That you're not allowed to do. So this was the question that Abai asked Rav Yosef and the answer. Now we have a similar question, a series of questions that Abai is going to ask Rav Yosef, all based upon his questioning of Brisa that it seems to go against a Mishnah. Talking about it, the Gemara brings down another Brisa. A misanenin hachardol b'misanenin shalo. Chardol is mustard. So they used to strain the mustard with a special type of strainer specifically for the mustard, and this would separate out. Rashi says, we are talking here on Yontif, and you're not allowed to separate out the good part of the chardol from the bad part of the chardol on Yontif. You can't do it with a regular strainer. Ein mesanen hachardol b'masanen shelo, with a special strainer. Likewise, the ein memaskin also b'gachelis. You also, they used to have a custom, Rashi says, k'dera sh'regilin l'chabos l'socho es hagachelis o even nisokis. They used to put some sort of a coal inside this chardol, and that would sweeten the chardol. So you're not allowed to do that on Yontif. Both of these things you're not allowed to do on Yontif. That's what the Brisa says. Now here we have Abai asking Rav Yosef the question. He says, Maishno meihod it not. How come this Brisa is different than that we learned in a Mishnah? Which Mishnah are we talking about? It's a Mishnah we're going to learn later in the week. And that Mishnah said, did not. It says over there, no stin beitzob in the sanene shulchardol. You are allowed to poke a beitzah to separate out the egg, the yellow part of the egg from the white part of the egg, that you'll have to put it into this mustard strainer. The Gemara there will tell us that you're doing this in order to make it a more yellowish color. You're doing this for the purposes of being tzoveya, to color the food. And it's not a problem of the malacha of tzoveya. The Gemara is going to tell us that because that doesn't apply to food. There is no problem with coloring food according to most poskim. So therefore, you are allowed to do that. It says, even on Shabbos, to go and separate the eggs. How come you can't separate the mustard on Yontif? That's the question Abai says to Rav Yosef. And Rav Yosef says, Amalei, Hossam, over there, lo merse kibore. It doesn't look like bore. As Rashi points out, Shekula yotza derech hamitzanenis. It all comes through the strainer. Ve'im ishtayishom psolas. There isn't a psolas left out. It just comes out, I guess, at a slightly different speed. So you end up coloring the food. So you can accomplish what you're doing without it looking like borer. However, hocha, in our case, with the chardol, with the mustard, so merse kiborer. It does look like you're being borer. Tosus points out, it's not real borer daraisa, because he says, even the psolas is royal achila, and you're really separating food from food, and it's the same min, so it's not really technically doraisa a borer problem, but it's borer midrabanan. So it looks like borer, and that's why you can't do it. We now look at the brisa. So we just brought down this brisa, and the second part of it says ein memaskin also begachelis. You're not allowed to go sweeten the chardol by putting in some sort of a coal, a charcoal inside of it. So the Gemara says, well, Tanya, but we learned another brisa, memaskin also begachelis. You are allowed to go and do this. So the brises are in contradiction to each other. So the Gemara says, lo kasha. No, that's not a problem. It depends. Kan begachelis shematechas. Where we said you're allowed to do this when there's no problem of kibui is when you're using some sort of a metal hot thing to put inside the chardol, and when we said it's also the Brisa said it's also kam begachelis leitz because there's a problem of kibui. Rashi says so when you put in the mustard, you're actually putting it out a little bit before you're going and heating it up. So therefore, that's why you can't do it with the eitz, but with the mateches, with the metal, there is no problem of putting it out. So again, Abai asked Rav Yosef in the same style. Omalei Abai Rav Yosef, Ma'ishno Abi Bisra Gurme. How come this Brisa that says you're not allowed to put the wooden coal in the chardol because you're going to do kibui, but we do allow you to put meat, bisra, on agumre, on these burning charcoals. And as soon as you put the meat on it, so it starts to put it out a little bit before it starts to heat it up. Right? When you put in meat onto a grill, so the juices drip down, or the meat itself, when it touches the coals, so it starts to put them out a little bit. So how come you're allowed to do it with the meat, but you're not allowed to do it with the chardol? So that's a question Abai asked Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says, Amalei, Hasam lo efshri. He says, because with the meat, you can't cook the meat on Erev Yontif. It's not going to be fresh. They didn't have refrigeration. They didn't have all of our abilities to keep the meat just as good if you made it on Erev Yontif. So they have to have fresh meat. So therefore, there was no alternative. But with the chardol, you can actually do it. Hoch efshri. You could do the chardol on Erev Yontif. It won't be any different. So therefore, why get involved in doing kibbuy, albeit it's for ochel nefesh, when you could do it on Erev Yontif with the meat? You couldn't do it on Erev Yontif because it wouldn't taste as good. It wouldn't be fresh meat. Another question about Yitzhak of Yosef. Mahu legabein. Now here he doesn't quote a brisa, he just asks him straight out. Mahu legabein. Are you allowed to do legabein? Rashi explains to make gvina. That's what legabein means. Can you make cheese on Yontif? So Amalei, so Yosef says, no. Also, you're not allowed to do this. So Abai asks him, and here we have the same style. Maish nomi lisha. How come you are allowed to go and do lisha? You're allowed to do kneading. You can go kneading with a K. You're allowed to go and need a dough to make fresh bread on Yontif, so why can't you go make this fresh cheese on Yontif? Why should there be any difference between the two? They're both ochel nefesh. So Amalei, so Yosef says to Abaye, Hasam lo efsha, in regards to making bread, you can't make the dough the day before. If you do make the dough the day before, it's not going to taste as good. You want to have nice hot bread on Yontif, nothing like fresh bread, right? That's why the store sells day-old bread I mentioned previously, because it's not as good. So you get a discount for the day-old bread. But on Yontif, you want to have certainly nice, fresh, hot bread. So therefore, you can't do the kneading on Erev Yontif. However, in regards to the cheese, hocha efshar, you can make the cheese on Erev Yontif. It'll be just as tasty. In fact, Gemara is going to say later on, it's even more tasty. Aged cheese is even better than regular, brand new, fresh cheese. So therefore, in regards to the cheese, well, you can do it on Erev Yontif, so do it on Erev Yontif, and don't get involved in being megabein to have a problem on Yontif. But in regards to the fresh bread, you can't make it beforehand, so therefore you'll have to do it on Yontif because of the hetev ochel nefesh. So where he questions it, says, well, Amri Nardoi, the Nardoi, they said, the people there, they said, Gvina Basyom Maya, the fresh cheese is even better. So he says, that's not what they said. You're misquoting them. What they really said was, Da'afilu Gvina Basyom Maya. They said, even cheese made that day is good. However, actually, cheese made the day before is even better. So therefore, there's no reason to allow making the cheese on Yontif. Gemara now quotes the Mishnah where it says, "Ein osin lo cholok uchule." We talked about when you do the bris mila on the baby that they used to put some sort of a tachboshes, a bandage, an asplanis on the baby's gid, on the aver where they did the bris mila, in order to prevent the foreskin from coming back. So if you didn't make this appropriate tachboshes beforehand, so they could take some sort of a smartut, some sort of a shmata, some sort of a cloth, and wrap it around. So again, Abaye is going to tell us a whole series of statements now that he heard from his mother. Again, his mother, Nebuch, passed away when he was born. His father passed away shortly after he was conceived. And Abaye was an orphan. And he was raised by this governess, by this aim, this woman who raised him. So he refers to her throughout Shas as his mother. And in any event, the Gemara is going to list a whole bunch of things that Abaye says that this mother, this governess, taught him. Amr Abaye, Amr Liyam, my mother taught me, Hai Choluk Diinuka, this a special bandage that they would put on, this little garment that they would put on the child, again, on the gid of the child after the bris milah, lefanya lesitra liloy. You have to make sure that the sitra, the hem of this garment, is turned outwards, liloy, to the outside, because otherwise, dilma midabek garda mine, because some of the threads over here from this garment, if you don't turn it out, if you don't turn it away from the wound and make sure that those threads aren't touching the wounds, they're going to get stuck in the wound. And anybody who's ever had a Band-Aid on knows that sometimes if the Band-Aid isn't put on right, if a 2x4 isn't put on right, when you take it off, it can pull off half the wound with it. For also the day, Kruz Shavcha. And here, you could, Rachman al-Islan, cause the child to be what's called a Kruz Shavcha, which is a certain type of injury that would actually nullify the person from being part of the Kahal. So you have to be very careful that you don't turn this guy into a person who is emasculated. So therefore, that's what his mother taught him. And Ime Dabaye, she was a nurse apparently, so when she would go and be in charge of this, of the kissa lepalga, she would go and make a special type of a lining, a kiss over here, that would go halfway up the gid, and this way it would make sure that the wound did not get attached over here to the bandage, and this way it would protect the child when they took off the wound, that it wouldn't, Rachman al-Islam, make the child into a kruz shavcha. Furthermore, Amar Baye, Hayinuka Delesli Choluk, if they didn't prepare for this child, this special choluk, this special bandage that they would put over the gid, so what should they do? Now it's Shabbos and they need to do this. So Laise Blisa, they would bring some sort of a shmata, the Islay Sifsa, that has some sort of a hem to it, the Lichrache Lisifsa Lisatoi, and they would make sure to, again, tie this in a certain way, to bind it in a certain way towards the bottom, for Oyifle Liloi, and fold it in some way over at the top. Again, the idea being that it shouldn't go and cause the wound to be destroyed as you take off the bandage and Rahman al-Islam make the person into a kruz shavcha. Furthermore, Yom Abai Yom Eliyah, Yom Abai says another thing that this governess, this mother taught him, Hayinuka Duliyadiyah Mi Fatke. Rashi explains, Nebuch, you have a child. She'ein nikarbo nekev beisarei. It has what we would call an imperforate anus. The opening to the anus, the opening for the waste to be excreted from the body, never formed, and there's a membrane over it, and therefore the child was going to die if it doesn't have an opportunity for the waste to leave the body. So this way, you can't get rid of the waste. So this child is in great distress. Now, they didn't have the fancy technologies that we have today. So they had to figure out a way to see where the opening should be, and they would have to create the opening. So Hayinuko de lo yedia mifatke, they didn't know where the opening was. It's an imperforate anus, and there's no perforation there for the waste to come out. So what you do, l'shaifi mishcha, so shmir on some oil, v'lok mil hadayoma, and put the baby in the sun. The yoma means towards the sun, Rashi says. And then, with the sun shining through on the thin membrane that is not perforated, you'll be able to see. It'll be against the surrounding tissue, which would be much thicker. So therefore, the hechla de zig, and wherever you can see that the skin is much thinner and the sunshine goes through the slightly covered area of the anus. So likare, you go and cut it open, bisa'arta shasi there, if you take some sort of a grain of barley, this sarta, and you make a up and down and side to side incision like a cross, like a plus sign, and avo bichli matochos lo, but don't use a metal tool, use this barley, because if you use metal, mishum dezorf, it's going to swell up, Rashi says the fuach, and that would be dangerous for the baby, so therefore don't do it with this menafcho, Rashi says it would swell up and therefore be stomach infected, and therefore don't use metal. And Bai said another thing that this governess told him, Hayinuka de lo mayitz, if a little baby Nebuch is not nursing, it's not drinking from its mother. So Gemara says it must be because Mekar hu de korpume, both Rashi and the Bach add the word hu. It must be because this baby is somehow cold and the baby can't suckle because it's too cold. So Maitekante, how do you go and warm the baby up? So Laisu koso gumre, go bring a cup filled with charcoals, the linkite le lahadi pume, and put the charcoals near the baby's mouth. The choyim pume, that will warm up the baby's mouth, and mayitz, it'll be able to go and nurse. Rabbi said another thing that his mother, governess, nurse told him, Hayinuka delo minashti, if you have a child Nebuch that's not breathing, that's the girsa that Rashi explains minashti means. On the side, it brings down from the aruch, it means it's not able to urinate. Lahashtin. So in any event, this child either can't breathe or can't urinate. What should you do? Linfe benaf vosa. Go and bring, Rashi says, a fan, van, and blow on it with this van, with this fan. And in this way, the child will either breathe or the child will start to urinate. Then it says, another thing that this governess told Abaye, Hayinuka d'lo ma'ave, if you have a child, the Nebuch is not breathing well. Ma'ave, Rashi says, Ein rucho nichnas v'yotze, the air is not going in and out of the baby well. So it's having respiratory difficulties. So Lysa, what you do, go and bring silsa di'ime, go bring the placenta that the baby, this is talking about a brand new baby, so the placenta is right there, the lishrike ilavi, and shmir it, rub it on the baby, umavi, and that will cause the baby to breathe. Another thing that this woman told Abaye, Hayinuka de Kotin, if you have a child that Nebuch is very poorly eating, it's not thriving, as we would say. The baby is Kotin, it's very, very small. Rashi says, Shudak, very, very poor baby, it's not eating well. So, Laisu, Lesilso dibe, again, go and bring the placenta of the mother, the lishuke ilavi, and go rub it on the child, mikutna l'uma, and now the placenta is an oblong type of a shape, so go and do it from the narrow end, and then rub towards the wider end of the placenta. That will help if the baby is caught in, if the baby is not thriving, is not doing well. If the baby on the other end is swollen, so you do the opposite. You take the wide end of the baby and rub it, the wide end of the placenta, and you rub it on the baby towards the narrow end of the placenta, and that will be the cure for that. Again, how these work, we don't understand. They're either metaphysical or they were just incorrect, and we don't follow the advice of the Gemara for any medical advice. Finally, and the last thing that Abai said in the name of this aim, Ayinuka Dusumak, if a baby is too red. In other words, Rashi says, Kol Bisaro Edom, it's a ruddy baby, too much blood. Dakati lo ivla beidama, the blood hasn't been absorbed well into the baby. I'm not sure exactly what this is referring to. but there's an excess of blood, if you wish. So lisruchu, you have to wait. Ad the ivla beidama. Don't do the bris milah while the baby is in this situation. And then only after this blood has been suffused into the body, the limalua. Then you can do the bris milah. Otherwise, it's going to be dangerous. The yarok, if the baby is, now yarok is, again, I mentioned many times, the color could be sometimes yellow, green, brown, or even blue. So this yarok here means jaundice, that the baby is a yellowish color. Bakati lo nofa beidama. And the blood over here hasn't, again, filled into the baby. So in this situation, Rashi says, lo bobo dam, it doesn't have enough blood. When we talk kacholish, it's weak. The ein bo koach umamara lachlosh velomos, and it will potentially, if you did a bris milah, this would kill the baby. That's the reason why the Moalim all look to see what the baby's yellowness is. They would check the bilirubins, but they would look at the baby and see whether they were yellow to a certain extent, that they wouldn't do the bris milah. So that's what his mother told him. This ein told Abaye, if you have the situation, wait until the blood is fully back into the body. It's not yellow. In other words, today we would say until the liver matures and is able to take these bilirubin products with the broken down blood and get rid of them for the body. And this means that the liver is mature. And therefore, the bris milah, all the clotting factors will be mature and the baby can have the bris milah, the limalua, and then you can do the bris milah. Maisa Shohaya, with a famous story from Rabbi Nosson, two stories from Rabbi Nosson, the Tanya, to support these two things that Abaye's mother, this Ein, told Abaye, he practiced them, la halocha, la maisa, and saved two babies. The Tanya, we're living in a brisa. I'm Rabbi Nosson. Rabbi Nosson said, Pama chasalachti likracha yam. One time I went out to the cities that were by the yam. Ubos Isha Lufana, and a woman came to me, Nebuch, Shemala Benor Bishon Umes. Her first child was born, Nebuch, she did the bris milah, and the baby died. Shein Umes, they brought the second child, and the baby Nebuch died as well during the bris milah, or after the bris milah. Now she's had a baby, a third child, Shlishi, Heviyatu Lufana. She came to me and said, what should we do in regard to this bris milah? So Rabbi Nosson looked at him, and he knew this advice from the mother of Abaye. And he said, Re'isav Shuadam, I saw that he was too red. And therefore, Rabbi Nosson said, Amarti lo, he told this woman, Hamtini, wait, actually, bala bo dama, wait until the blood is drained, so to say, from the superficial areas, because otherwise the baby's going to bleed to death when you do this bris milah. Nope, they did that. Hamtini lo, actually, bala bo dama, they waited a little bit of time, doesn't say how long, until the baby's blood was absorbed into the body, and they were able to do the bris milah safely, and they did the bris milah, the baby lived. The mother was so grateful, and they named the baby Nosson Abadli Elshmi. They called him Nosson Abadli, that was Rabbi Nosson. They named the baby after me. The second story, same exact thing. Shuv pamachas olatim dinas kaputkia. One time, he went to a certain place known as Kaputkia, and uvos isho achas lfona. And again, same exact story. A woman came to him, and Nebuch shemala benor rishon umeis. That the first child was born, they did a bris milah, and then the baby died. Same thing happened the second one. Shein umeis, they did the bris milah, and the second child, the baby died after that. And now that they had a third child, Shlishi, Heviyatu Lefone, they brought to Rabbi Nosson to say, what should they do? So Rabbi Nosson looked at the baby, Risav Shu Yaruk, he saw that he was jaundiced. It's at Stilbo. So he looked at it very, very carefully. And the lower Isibo Dambris. And he also saw, Rashi says, there are two reasons over here. Number one, he was drawn this. And number two, he saw that there was no Dam in the Eber. For whatever the reason, he was able to tell that. And therefore, Rashi explains that these two things that he didn't have this is two things that are Ligriusa. They're both going to hurt the baby. Number one, Chodah, the Morole, Lo Nothak Mine Doma. That there's going to be no blood coming out over here. And you have to do Hatovas Dambris for the Milah to be a good Bris Milah. And number two, the Mesukhanu, that it would be dangerous to do a bris milah because of this jaundice. So therefore, he said, go and wait. Amarti lo hamtini lo achi po bodama. Wait, don't do the bris milah at this point in time. Wait until the child has the jaundice clear up. Nope, they did that. Hamtini lo, they waited. And umalo also v'choya. And they did the bris milah on this baby. And Baruch Hashem, the baby lived. And guess what? Vayu korin shmo Nosson Habavli Yashmi. And they named the baby after Rabbi Nosson Habavli. They called the baby Nosson Habavli. Okay. That concludes that discussion. We turn to the Omid Beis and we begin a brand new Mishnah. Now, the Mishnah tells us, Marchitzin Esakoton, that they used to go and heat up hot water for the baby. They would heat it up before Shabbos and keep it hot, and they would go and wash the baby both before and after the milah, bein lifnei amila or bein liachar milah. That was their custom. They felt that that was appropriate, necessary for the bris milah from a medical point of view. And likewise, the Tanakhama says, umzalfin alav biyad avalo b'kli, and they would go and sprinkle some hot water on this baby. Umzalfin is a word that we're familiar with because they used to sprinkle the either wine to make it a nice aroma or water if you were poor on their dirt floors in order to keep it from being so dusty. This is similar to the seventh inning stretch where they water the infield, so they would go and do this to their dirt floor. So this mezalfin is to sprinkle water. So he says you're allowed to sprinkle this hot water on the baby with your hand, but you're not allowed to use avoloba kli, but you're not allowed to take some sort of a kli and use the kli. You have to do a shinoi. That's the opinion of the Tanakhama. Now, that's mutually contradictory, the Gemara is going to say. First you say you're allowed to go and wash the baby with hot water, then you say you can only sprinkle the baby with hot water. The Gemara will ask this question right away. That's the opinion of the Tanakhama. Rabbi Loz ben Azariah says, Marchitz in esakoton bayom hashlishi, even allowed to wash this baby on the third day, shecholios b'Shabbos, even if that third day is Shabbos. The third day after the Mila is a dangerous time for the baby. So machlokas, does it mean it's more dangerous or it's equally dangerous as the first day? In any event, we know that from the pasuk by the stole meisel with Dina and Shechem and Shimon and Levi. So it says Shenema v'hiba yom shlishi b'osam kovin, that Shimon and Levi attacked Shechem and all the people of that area on the third day after they had bris milah because they were in great pain. So that's the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who says even on the third day they're allowed to do marchitzin. We'll understand in the Gemara what exactly the machlokas is between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Finally, the Mishnah concludes and says, what about a suffix? If you have an unclear situation, you're not sure if the baby was born. Rashi says, Kagon Sofik ben Ches Kadoshim. You're not sure if the baby is an 8-month baby, which in their days and their understanding was Vadai not going to survive because it wasn't Kolu Yabav. It didn't finish off its days. It's too premature. This would be the equivalent for us of a baby that's too premature for even to survive in our high tech NICUs or neonatal ICUs. So this is a baby that is not going to survive, or you're not sure. Is it a 9-month baby? So you're not sure what this baby is, so what do you do with this baby in terms of bris milah? The 8-month baby, as Rashi says, kevin b'yama, it's not going to survive. And you're not allowed to do a bris milah on an 8-month baby. Again, today the halach is totally different because these babies are vaday are going to survive, b'ezus Hashem. So therefore, the ruba, the vast majority of even 7-8 month babies are going to survive. So therefore, they're not considered like in times of the Gemara, like they're essentially a child that isn't capable of surviving, and therefore you treat it like a rock, and you're not even moving it. It's muksa, so to say. So in any event, you have this suffix. Is it 7? Is it 8 months or is it 9 months? So it's a suffix. Is it able to have a bris milah done or not? Likewise, Androgynous is a child that has both Simoni Zachrus and Simoni Nakvus. It has both signs of being male and a female Nebuch. So it's either going to be a Bria Bifnei Atzmo, a separate entity, or it's just a mixture Nebuch of a male and a female. It's not good for the child. It has ambiguous genitalia. So in this situation, Ein Mechalim Asa Shabbos. Now I do Bris Mila on such a Suffolk or an androgynous baby on Shabbos according to the Tanakhama. Review the Matibi Androgynous. Review the says, I agree with you in regards to the Suffolk, but I disagree with you in regards to the androgynous. And the Gemara will discuss why Rabbi Yehuda holds his way. So Gemara starts off and says the obvious internal contradiction between the Shita of the Tanakhama. Gemara says, well, Amritz Rei Shomarchitz, and you start off by telling me the Tanakhama says you're allowed to go wash the baby with hot water, Ben Lefnei Amila, Ben Liachar Amila, on Shabbos, and then you tell me afterwards, no, you're only allowed to sprinkle on the baby. So what's going on over here? So we'll give the first answer from Yehuda, Rabbi Baravua. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Baravua, they say, Damri Tavayu, that Ketzad Tani, that the second statement is an explanation of the first statement. Number one, Marchitz in a Sakotan, you're allowed to go and bathe the baby in this hot water before and after the Mila, and then bathe Lifnei Mila, bathe La'achar Mila, but how are you supposed to bathe the baby? Ketzad, this second statement of Mezalfin is explaining what Marchitzin means. And that is, that you're only allowed to be Mezalfin of Biyat. When we say marchitzin, it doesn't merely mean washing the baby in the normal way. It means you're allowed to sprinkle on the baby some hot water with your hand, avolobakli, but you're not allowed to use a special instrument, you're not allowed to use a kli. That is the very machmir interpretation that these two Amoraim, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Baravua, had of the Tanakhama Shita. Rava doesn't like this. I'm a Rava. Bar Machitzin Tani, it says you're allowed to wash the baby. It doesn't say mezalfin. If it was just mezalfin, it would have said mezalfin. Why does it say marchitzin? So therefore, Rava says, I don't like your teretz. Elam or Rava. Rava gives a much more makel explanation of the Tanakhama. Hachitani, this is what you have to understand on Mishnah. The Tanakhama holds Machitzin and Sakati. You're allowed to wash the baby, Bein Mifnei Amila, Bein Milachar Mila, in the regular way, before and after the Mila, Bayom Arishon Kedarko. In the regular way, you would do it on a Tuesday, you're allowed to do this on Shabbos. And in addition, if the third day after the bris is a Shabbos, will be Yom Shlishi Shcholios B'Shabbos, if the third day after the bris, which we said is a dangerous time for the baby, and that falls out on Shabbos, then you're not allowed to wash the baby in the normal way. Then you're only allowed to be mezalfen lo biyat avo lo b'kli. Then you can take hot water and sprinkle it on the baby with your hand, but not use a kli. That's what the Tana Kama's opinion is. And along comes with Elozvan Azariah, and he says, Omer, marchitzin, even esakotam yom shlishi shechol yos v'shabbos. He says, not only can everybody agree that you're marchitzin on the day of the milah, but even on the third day of the meal, if that's on Shabbos, Rav Elazar ben Azariah is more makel than the Tana Kama. Tana Kama says you're just allowed to be mezalfin, and Rav Elazar ben Azariah says you're even allowed to wash the baby. Machitzin sekotim yom shlishi shechol yos v'shabbos. The third day after the bris meal is on Shabbos, you can even wash the baby based upon the pasuk shenemar vahi beyom shlishi beosom koavim. It's dangerous, and that's what the opinion of Rav Elazar ben Azariah is, more makel than the Tana Kama. That's Rava's interpretation. And the Mor says, Tiny Kavasi the Rava. Rava's an Amora. He didn't know every Brisa. There's a Brisa that says exactly what Rava said. What did the Brisa say? The Brisa says, Beferish, Marchitzin, Hakotu Melefne Mila Ben Lachmila. You'll have to go wash the baby on the day of the Bris Mila, before or after the Bris Mila. They had the custom to wash the baby. You'll have to do this Biyom Rishon Kedako, on the day of the Mila, in the normal way. Every way you would do it on a Tuesday, you do it on a Shabbos. And if the third day after the Bris Mila happens to be on a Shabbos, so then we have the opinion of Tana Kama. You can even, in that situation, also wash the baby, but not in the normal way. You have to use a shinoi. You can wash the baby, but only with your hand. You sprinkle some hot water on the baby with your hand, but not with the utensil. Doesn't say here in the Brisa, not with the utensil, but that's the mistum of the opinion. Elazar ben Azariah disagrees. He's more makel. Omer, marchitzin sekot miyom shlishi shechol yos Shabbos. Even on the third day, if that's on Shabbos, you're allowed to go wash the baby. And here the Brisa is a little bit different than what we said before. Even though we have an airtight proof, we don't have such a proof. We have an asmachta, we have a sort of an allusion to this from the pasuk shenemar. Because it says on the third day after they did the bris milah to Shechem and all the people in Shechem's town, so they were kovim, they were in pain, and that was a dangerous time. The Gemara will explain why does it say that it's only a zeich ledover and not a raya ledover. The Gemara will explain that in a few moments. Then, according to the Tana Kama, Gemara is going to say in a moment that this goes back down to the Tana Kama, because Rav Elazar ben Azariah says you'll have to wash in the regular way. So according to the Tana Kama, when you do sprinkle the water on the baby on day three after the Bris Milah, that's Shabbos, aim mezalfin lo b'kos. Here it says b'feirish now that you're not allowed to use a utensil, you're not allowed to use a cup, lo b'kara or a plate, lo b'kli or any other sort of a utensil, el b'yad. You have to sprinkle with your hand. Here's where it says b'feirish, mezalfin lo b'yad means with your hand and not with these kalim. Okay, so the Brisa corroborates exactly what Rava said. And the Gemara points out now what I just told you. I saw in the Tana Kama, this statement, Ukishe Mizalfin, is going back on the Tana Kama. Because, again, of course, Rav Elazar ben Azariah says, you're allowed to use the regular way. You can use regular marchitzen. So, of course, you can use it without being Mizalfin from a utensil. You can even wash from a utensil. You wash the baby the regular way. Now, Gemara says, my apopish ain't right ledover zech ledover. Why in the Brisa they say you don't have an airtight proof? You just have an allusion to this. So why is this not an airtight proof? So Gemara says, mishum degadol lo solik bizrahaya. Because here you're talking about gedolim. He's talking about adult males, and their wounds don't heal the same way a baby's wound heals. Katan solik baby is sahaya. The katan has a bris milah. It's going to heal 1 through 3. So maybe you might have thought that the din of the katan is going to be different than an adult. And therefore, the katan, you're only allowed to be mezalfin. And the gadol, you're allowed to be marchitzin. So that's what, it's only a raya from the gedolim that you're allowed to do marchitzin because it's dangerous, because maybe you could say that by a katan, it's not as dangerous. How did also come to Rava? There once was a person who came to Rava, and they had a bris milah to be done, and wanted to know if they were allowed to go and wash the baby on the day of bris milah. So Rava's opinion was yes, albeit we brought down that the first opinion of Yehuda and Rabbi Baravua said no, you're only allowed to do mezalfin according to the Chachamim. So Rava passed it like himself, or like Ishmaisi. Rava told him, yeah, go wash the baby in the regular way with hot water, both before and after the bris milah. Subsequently, Ichalish Rava. Subsequently, Rava got sick, and he said to himself, "Omar, ano bahade teragimna disave lomo li. Why did I get myself involved over here arguing against these two great older sages? They must have been older. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Ravua were older than Rava. And he says, why am I getting involved with a machlokus with these great sages? As Rashi says, my holy lachlo kenegin skenim alolo. What was I thinking? Why was I arguing with these two zakenim, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Ravua? Shapirushus also harches. They said you're not allowed to do rechitza in the regular way, and you're only allowed to do mezalfin. And I said you're allowed to do rechitza, and that's why I'm sick. Rava was able to determine. He felt that's why he was sick. Amli Rabbanu Rava, so the Chachamim, they told Rava, Tanya Kavasi Demar, but you had a Brisa in support of you. They didn't have a Brisa in support of their Shita. You had a Brisa in support of you, so you're right. So why are you concerned that you pass in this way? Amalu, so Rava said to the Chachamim, Masnisen Kavasayu Daika. Right, I have a Brisa, but the Mishnah is more Meduyuk. Our Mishnah is more Meduyuk to be like the opinion of Rav Yehuda and Rabba Baravua, that the Tanakhama only allows Mezalfin and doesn't allow Machitzin. Mimai, why is that? Because read the Mishnah carefully. Be Medayik in the Mishnah. It says in the Mishnah, after you bring the Tanakhama, it says, Midikamar, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Omer. What does Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah say? He says, Machitzin es hakotam b'yom ha'shlishi chol yos b'shabbos. He says, you're allowed to wash the baby on the third day. Now, I was b'shol in Tanakhama Mezalfin kamar. If you say like Rav Yehuda and Rabba Baravua, that the Tanakhama only allows Mezalfin, so now it makes very good sense. Hainu de Karmelei Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Marchitzin. He introduces the words Marchitzin for the first time, so that's why he says Marchitzin. But if you were like me, Eli Iyamas Tanakhama Marchitzin Biyom Rishon Komar, like my Shita, the way I understood it, that the Tanakhama also says Marchitzin, so then Mezalfin Biyom Shlishi, and as I explained it, that he is only allowing the Mezalfin on the third day, so then the proper Lashon should have been, when it starts to tell us what Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's sheet is, it should have said, hi, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Omer Marchitzin. It shouldn't have said Marchitzin. It should have said, Af Marchitzin, Meboyele. Because the Tanakhama says Marchitzin on day one, and along comes Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, also you can be Marchitzin on day three. If the Tanakhama says Mezalfin, so that we understand why Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said Marchitzin. But if he's saying that the Tanakhama, like I, Rava holds, the Tanakhama also says Marchitzin on day one and only Mezalfin on day three, then the proper way, if you're Medayik in the Mishnah, you should have said that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, even Marchitzin, af Marchitzin, even on the third day. So that's the diuk that he says that Taka, I shouldn't have argued with Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Bar Avua because they have a diuk for the Mishnah. Even though I had a Brisa, they had a diuk for the Mishnah. More continuing says, Kiosa Rav Dimi. Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Babel. Again, they had traveled back and forth from Eretz Yisrael to teach the Torah from Eretz Yisrael to Babel and vice versa. So when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, Amar Rav Elazar, he said the name of Rav Elazar. You often find them saying, when they came, they said the name of Rav Elazar, they say the name of Rav Yochanan, Rav Elazar, Rav Shlakish. So in any event, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he said the name of Rav Elazar. Rav Elazar was a star pupil of Rav Yochanan, Halachic Rav Elazar ben Azariah. We pass it over here like the more lenient opinion of Rav Elazar ben Azariah. And according to Rava, he says Marchitza the entire time. And even according to the Mishnah, he says the entire time. According to everybody, Rav Elazar ben Azariah is Mako to be Marchitza even on day three. Havu b'maravava, they asked in Eretz Yisrael, however, Hachatzos kol gufo or Hachatzos mila. When we say that the halach is like Rav Elazar ben Azariah, that you're allowed to do Marchitzin, so did it mean Marchitzin just the area of the mila, or did it mean even the entire body, you're allowed to go and wash? So Gemara says, Amalu, how many Rabbanim Rabbi Yaakov Shmei? One of the Talmidei Chachamim, his name was Rabbi Yaakov, suggested the following teretz, Mistavra, it makes sense to me, Hachatzos kol gufo, that he's referring over here to allowing you to do a washing of the entire body. Why is that? Why is that logical? These sokodaito harchatzos mila, because if it was only the mila that you're allowed to go and wash, so mi goru mi chavan agabi maka. How would this be different than the fact that you're allowed to put hot water on any maka? So why would you think that you can't put it on the bris mila? Where do we know that you're allowed to put hot water on any maka on Shabbos? The Amar Rav, Rav said, ein monin chamin v'shemin me'al gabi maka b'Shabbos. One doesn't have to stop, subsist from doing, putting on a wound on Shabbos, either hot water and or oil on the wound on Shabbos. So why would I think the bris mila is any different than any other wound? So that's what Rav said. Gemara says, Maskel Rav Yosef, is not happy with this answer that Rabbi Yaakov gave. Again, Rabbi Yaakov said in the name of Rav that you're allowed to go and wash a wound with hot water and oil. So why wouldn't you be able to wash the mila? That's what Rav Yaakov said, is the answer that Mestama in Eretz Yisrael, they said that Rav Elazar ben Azariah allows you to wash the entire baby, not just the wound. So Rav Yosef doesn't like this. And Rav Yosef asked the following shaila. Maskel Rav Yosef, lo shani lo ben chamim shuchim v'shabbos, lo chamim shuchim v'erev shabbos, the two different cases. You're dealing over here that Rav said you're allowed to go and wash the wound, so that's with water that was heated up on Erev Shabbos. But here we're talking about water that was heated up on Shabbos. Maskev lo Rav Dimi. Rav Dimi doesn't like Rav Yosef's question, his maskev, and he says, you're wrong. He says, who says they're talking about over here the difference between whether the water was heated up on Shabbos? That's what we're talking about by the bris milah. Maybe they're even arguing the Chacham and Rav Elazar ben Azariah even when the water was heated up on Erev Shabbos. So Amar Abaye says, no, I know, Abaye di shani lei. I originally wanted to say an answer to this question that Rav Dimi asked, but I was being to have called the Mishnah Rav Yosef. But Rav Yosef, my Rebbe, said it first. The Mishnah is dealing over here with a case of Pikuach Nefashos, and therefore, it clearly is talking about that you're allowed to heat it up on Shabbos. You can't tell me, Dilma b'chame shuchlum b'eri Shabbos pligi. And Itmar Nami, this was also said over by other Amorim. Ki also Rabbi came from Israel, Amor Rabbi Yavo, Amor Rabbi Lazar, he said name of Rabbi Yavo, name of Rabbi Lazar. The other say it was Amor Rabbi Yavo, Amor Rabbi Yochanan, said it directly the name of the Rebbe, Rabbi Yochanan, Halachic Rulaz ben Azariah, that we pass over here like Rulaz ben Azariah, and here he stated Beferish. Be'im Mecham Meshuchim B'Shabbos, whether the water was heated up on Shabbos, and certainly Be'im Mecham Meshuchim B'Every Shabbos, certainly water was heated up on every Shabbos. And this means Be'in Archotz is called Gufo, Be'in Archotz is Milo. You're allowed to wash anything, either just the Milo or the entire body. Why? Because it's dangerous to withhold doing this washing. The Gemara continues and quotes what we just said. Gufo, Amar Rav. Rav taught us, Ein monin chamin v'shemin miyal gabi mak b'Shabbos. Rav said that a person is allowed to use hot water or oil and put it on a wound on Shabbos. Shmuel disagreed. Ushmuel Amar, no sin chutz l'maka. Shmuel said, you're not allowed to put it directly on the maka. That's too much. But you put it near the maka, the show says, and it will go and drip down the yorid lamaka and go on to the wound. So Shmuel is more machmir in what you can do. Gemara says, Meisvei, wait a second. The Brisa says, Beferish, ain't no sin shemen v'chamin. You're not allowed to go put oil or hot water al gabe moch on top of a garment. A moch is like a soft tissue or a wad of cotton or of cloth. And you're not allowed to go put the shemen or the hot water on this, litin al gabi makab Shabbos, to put it directly on the wound on Shabbos. That seems to go in accordance with Shmuel, Kasha, and Rav. Where it says, no, the reason why you can't put the oil or the hot water on the moch, on this soft cotton, on these pieces of cloth, these tufts of wool, also mishum schita, there's a schita concern. You may come to squeeze it. It has nothing to do with the machlokis of Rav and Shmuel. That's a separate gzera. Don't put water on these mochs, on these soft materials, because you may come to squeeze them out. Where it says, similarly, Tashma, same exact question, same exact teretz. Barisa says, ain't no sin chamin v'shemen al gabi moch, you're not allowed to put the chamin and the shemen, the hot water and the oil on top of these soft materials, sha'al gabi maka b'Shabbos, that's on top of a maka on Shabbos, so you see clearly it seems to suggest more like Shmuel and not like Rav. Again, same answer is given. Hasam nami mishum schita. No, that has a schita concern. That's why you can't put the hot water or the oil on top of a moch, because you're going to come to squeeze out the moch. But it has nothing to do with the machlokas of Rav and Shmuel. But we do have a brice in support of Shmuel. Tanya kavasi de Shmuel. The brice says beferish like Shmuel holds. Ain no sin chamin v'shemen agabi maka b'Shabbos. The brice says you're not allowed to put it directly on the wound on Shabbos. Shmuel shita. You can't put that water in the shemen on the wound on Shabbos. However, avin no sin chutz l'maka, but you can put it nearby, not directly on the maka. And then v'shosis yor l'maka, it will drip down and go onto the maka. That is allowed. Again, the brice is exactly like Shmuel said. Tana Rabbanan, in another brayso, nosten agabi amaka moch yovesh usfog yovesh. On the wound, you're allowed to go put a dry moch, these dry cotton materials or tufts of wool, whatever these mochs are, these soft materials, if they're dry. And likewise, usfog. Usfog is normally translated as a sponge. Usfog yovesh. You can put on a dry sponge. But you're not allowed to put on other dry things. Avalo gemi yovesh, you can't take a reed that's dry. Avalo ksisin yovesh. Now ksisin, we had previously, we were talking about the amputee. If you remember early in the Masechta, we said they had certain like soft materials, cloths or garments that were put in by the area of the amputation and to go put that onto the prosthetic limb to stop the rubbing against the amputated area. So these ksisin are these soft cloths. Now, that's the exact same thing as a moch yovesh. The Gemara says, kasha ksisin aksisin. In the ratio of this brisa, you say you can use soft cloth, and in the safe, you say you can't use soft cloth. So what's going on? The brisa is mutually contradictory, internally and contradictory. The Gemara says, lo kasha. No, it's not a problem. The ratio of the brisa, where it's talking about that you're allowed to put on the moch yovesh, that's actually talking about with old cloths, and they don't have medicinal benefits, and therefore you're allowed to put it on. But the Reisha is talking about Atike, the Sefer, Ho-Bechariti, that's the Sefer. It's talking about brand new cloths, so those you're not allowed to go put on. Ho-Batike, the Reisha is talking about older cloths, those you're allowed to put on because they don't have any medical benefit. Amar Abayi, Shmamino, Honey, Ksisin, Masu. You see over here that these types of cloths, these Ksisin, which are new, as opposed to used Shmatas, so these new cloths can have somewhat of a benefit on a wound. More quotes the Mishnah. We have the Machlokes between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda. Everybody agreed that the Sofek, the baby, it's not sure if it was a viable 9-month baby, or Nebuch, it was a premature, totally unviable in those days, 8-month baby. So we had said the Sofik, you're not allowed to do bris milah, and the Tanakhama said the androgynous, you're also not allowed to do a bris milah on this Sofik situation of ambiguous genitalia. It has both nakvus and zachrus, has both feminine and masculine genital characteristics. Or others say it's a birya b'fnei atzma. Tanakhama says you don't do bris milah on an androgynous, and you said you do a bris milah on androgynous. So Gemara starts off according to Brisa, Tanur Rabbanan. The Brisa tells us, the Pasuk says, you shall do the bris milah on your orloso. So it tells me orloso, vadai, doches a Shabbos. If it's a vadai orlo, then it's doches Shabbos. Turn to the Amud Aleph. However, you don't do a bris milah below sofek docha es a Shabbos. But if it's a sofek, whether it requires a bris milah, then you don't do a bris milah on Shabbos. You only do a vadai on Shabbos. Tosa says, what's even your havi mean to think that for a sofek you would go and be mechal Shabbos and through a sofek take a chance to be mechal Shabbos as opposed to shev al tase? Don't go and do something. Therefore, Tosa says the whole thing is just an asmachta. In any event, you're not allowed to do it on a sofek because of the word orloso. Arloso vaday doches a Shabbos, the Gemara continues, the Brisa continues, below androgynous doches a Shabbos. Likewise, an androgynous is not doches a Shabbos because it's not clear should you or should you not do a bris milah on androgynous. It may be a female. There's no din of bris milah on a female. It could be a male. Maybe there is. So that's a sofek. You don't do it on Shabbos. But review the disagreed, review the Omer. Androgynous doches a Shabbos. He holds, as opposed to the sofek, he says an androgynous is doches a Shabbos. And if in fact the androgynous goes through life without having a bris milah of onish kares, he would be chayiv kares. And orloso vadei doches a Shabbos. The Brisa continues and says, if a person has a vadei orlo, so then it is doches Shabbos. The bris milah b'zmana is doches Shabbos. However, as opposed to v'lo nolad ben hashmoshos doches a Shabbos, we're not sure if the baby was born on Shabbos or on Sunday, so then you don't do the bris milah on Shabbos. If the baby's born, not sure, Friday or Shabbos, so you don't do the bris milah on Friday because it's too early, but you don't do the bris milah on Shabbos because maybe the baby was born on Friday, and therefore it's the ninth day on Shabbos, and you can't do the bris milah on Shabbos if it's not bismana. Likewise, it says, orloso vadei doches a Shabbos, because only a vadei requirement to do the orlo on Shabbos is docha, v'lo no la'kishumol docha Shabbos. And likewise, somebody who was born already with the bris milah, and there's a question, do we do it tofes dam bris? Do we draw a little bit of blood? So that also isn't done on Shabbos. Shabbos Shami Yomim, tzorech latim min dam bris. B'Shami says, you do it tofes dam bris, you take off a little bit of blood, and Beisil Omim Eino Tzorach. Beisil says you don't have to. Now, Amar Rav Shimon Lozer, Rav Shimon Lozer qualifies this last machlokas with Beisil Meshami to the following. He says, Lo nechluku Beishami Beisil al nolak shumo. Everybody, in fact, Rav Shimon Lozer says that if a child is born with a bris milah, it already is born without an orla, Shetzorach latim min dam bris. Everybody says that you do have tofes dam bris. Why? Because it really does have an orla. It's not like it's not born without an orla. The orla is just crushed over here. The orla is there, but it's pressed down. It's been crushed in some sort of way, so you really don't see it. So you do have tofes dam bris, and that will be fulfilling getting rid of the orla. Amel nechleku, but we do Beis Hillel Mishami do have a machlokas. Clearly, they do have a machlokas. Al ger shenisgayek shumol, a ger who is converting, a non-Jewish person who had a circumcision when he was a guy, so he really has no orla. It's not a orla kavusha. His orla was removed, and now he's nisgayer. He becomes a yid. So does he need hatavas dambris? She Mishami omim tzorach lativ minu dambris. Mishami says he also requires a dambris, even though there's no orla or kavusha in this situation, the orla is gone. Nevertheless, Beishami says you need hatavas dambris in this situation. Or Beisilomim, no. Ain't tzorach latif minu dambris. In a ger who's nisgayer, there is no orla at all. He had a circumcision, so there's no orla. So Beisil says you do not require hatavas dambris in that scenario. With this, we conclude today's shir.